The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
I want to now bring us to Tuscany in Italy, which is the location for Sarah Slattery from the travelexpert.ie for a weekly travel spot. One of the most beautiful parts of the world to visit. Start for me in Florence, please. What are the attractions of Florence?
Well, Florence is probably the most well-known, I suppose, but it's still really, really busy. I hadn't been for years and I was a bit taken aback, I have to say, by the crowds, but it's still absolutely beautiful to walk around. One of the great things about the city is it's so compact. Most of the top attractions are close together. So even if you are visiting Tuscany in the summertime and you're maybe staying out in one of the countryside, one of the hotels with a pool and you want to go in, it's actually very accessible. Fantastic train services in Florence. You can probably get there by train, but we were driving and we were able to literally park right beside the Ponte Vecchio and walk across Ponte Vecchio through beside the Uffizi Gallery there to the main square where the replica statue of David is and on to the famous Duomo in literally 10 or 15 minutes.
Actually, so just explain to people what the Ponte Vecchio is if they haven't been there.
It's a kind of famous bridge in Tuscany where it's, God, I'm not sure how old it is now, but there's all sorts of small little jewellery shops actually built into the bridge. And it's supposed to be quite romantic. People go there to propose or hope that people will buy them a diamond ring maybe or something like that. It's absolutely thronged now. But it is, it's a pretty little bridge.
It was the only bridge in Florence that was spared from destruction during the Second World War.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing generally about Tuscany that amazed me, how well preserved everything is. I mean, I went, we used to holiday there quite a lot before we'd kids, and we travelled around all the time, staying in lots of different places. And 20 years later, I don't know what I expected when I went back. I think I thought some of the places would have changed, but I suppose they're there 700 or 800 years, these buildings, so they're not going to change an awful lot in 20 years. But no, everything is so well preserved. It's quite remarkable. Even the small hilltop towns, the building regulations are really, really strict and they're really enforced. They're not allowed to touch any of the buildings. And sometimes you're walking into these old towns and you think you're in a sort of movie set. You know, it's hard to believe they're actually real. And some of them look like pretty much look how they would have looked 700 or 800 years ago. It's quite astonishing to see them. Florence now is probably the one contradiction in all that, because it's busy, busy all the time.
Well, take us to Siena, which is one of my favourite spots, particularly where they have the El Palio each year.
Yeah, Siena is, I suppose it's a little bit different because it is a city, but it feels more like a small town. And you've got that gorgeous centre, this round kind of piazza right in the centre with this huge Palazzo Pubblico, a huge big town hall that stands, again, that's about 700 years old. And you can climb the 400 steps up to the top of it and you see all those iconic red roofs of Siena and the countryside. It's absolutely stunning. Would definitely recommend you do that. But it's also home for, as you said there, Matt, the Il Palio, the famous horse race that takes place twice every summer, where horses, 10 different horses from various districts around the area compete in this race, and they all dress up in their different colours and they race around the Campo, the main kind of circular square. People may have seen it on the James Bond movie Quantum of Solace, but it's a big spectacle and it's on twice a year.
It's difficult to get tickets for it because I know we were there one year and we couldn't get tickets on the day to be in the square, but the day before they did a parade through all the little streets of the horses coming through and all the colours of the localities, and it was absolutely terrific.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Sanji Meccano is another absolutely beautiful little town, but they call the mini Manhattan when you look at it from a distance.
Yeah, this is where we stayed this time. It was one of my favourite spots years ago and we went back, and like that, I've been told it's a bit of a tourist trap now and I wasn't sure what to expect. And yeah, it does have lots of day trippers, but it's still absolutely stunning and exactly the same as when it was when I was there, when I fell in love with it 20 years ago. It dominates the kind of landscape because there's these towers, these 14 towers. There used to be 72 towers built by noblemen at the time. Again, like in the 13th century, and now there's 14 that remain. But, you know, we stayed inside this Airbnb or apartment. I just got it on booking.com that was literally inside the walled city, with your, the walls inside were from the 13th century. Like, it's quite remarkable to be there. You know, it just almost doesn't feel real. So I would say, as busy as it is during the day, I'd say if you can, just try and stay even a night or two inside the old town, just to get the feel before the crowds arrive in the morning, the just out on the square and the evenings, because everybody's gone by 6 o'clock and no one gets there till 10 a.m. So you have the whole place to yourself. It's absolutely fabulous.
Okay, and then if you leave San Gimignano, what other areas would you actually go to?
Well, there's a nice little spot for anybody who is going to Tuscany. You may not have heard of it, called Volterra. And it's about 20 minutes, half an hour maybe drive from San Gimignano. And with the nature of walled towns, they can get quite dark, obviously, in the evenings. But San Gimignano has this, or Volterra has this incredible outdoor sort of terrace, like natural sort of terrace. So you get this gorgeous sunset in the evening, literally looking out over all the rolling hills of Tuscany, those incredible iconic pictures that you imagine, that's where you get them. And all the locals kind of come out in the evening and they play their little games, their bulls, or they all sit around and play cards. And it's real authentic kind of Tuscany feel. But it's still a beautiful town to explore, and it's very near that area. Most of the little towns I found, they're all, I suppose some people don't want to drive, but it's ideal if you can drive, because you stumble across these places, and driving from place to place is where you get all the best scenery and find all these gorgeous towns along the way.
And then Monte Pulciano, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I don't know if you know the wine, the Monte Pulciano wine, but it's very famous. It's supposed to be the king of Tuscan reds. The best, I thought Chianti was the most famous, but the Monte Pulciano red is supposed to be the best. But again, I found this place about 20 years ago and didn't know anything about the wine at the time. But it's just a tiny, tiny little hilltop town south of Siena, probably more suited to a day trip. Lots of these places, by the way, can be discovered on day trips. If you are basing yourself in one or two areas, it's very easy. They're all between Viator and Get Your Guide and all these. You can book day trips very, very easily. But it's just perched on top of a hill, and it's literally right surrounded by vineyards. And you've got this medieval town with all the narrow streets. I'd say I wouldn't even drive in it. They're so narrow. And you've got ancient churches and piazzas and all this gorgeous, typical Tuscany little old town, but then the views from the vineyards all around it, it's absolutely stunning. A must visit, I'd say.
Does that suggest that if you are going to be going on a holiday, you need car hire, that this is somewhere that you're not going to get to an awful lot of these locations, particularly the towns and vineyards, by train or by bus? You do need a car.
Well, there is. I mean, Pisa is the gateway. Pisa is where all the flights go in, and it is very accessible. I mean, there's daily flights from Dublin in the summer. There's twice weekly from Cork. So, you know, it is very easy to get to. The train service in Italy is amazing. So you could do it without a car, but you'd have to base yourself maybe somewhere in the centre and then maybe book tours. You know, there's loads of these tours available. You can, I mean, there's some of the wine tours. You can get like 5-hour tours for like €50 for a whole day exploring Tuscany, you know. So you can do it. It is definitely doable. But I personally think even if you could hire a car for a couple of days, just kind of driving around and seeing that scenery is kind of, and just stumbling across these little towns. I mean, they're the famous ones I've mentioned, but there's all these small little tiny ones that you come across that, you know, that's a kind of part and part of the experience, I think. So yeah, I would definitely recommend a car if you can.
And indeed, the food and drink is terrific in the area as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's so reasonable as well. You know, just some of the prices. I mean, even when we went to Pisa, another definite top tip. I mean, Pisa isn't a particularly pretty city, but the Leaning Tower is literally 3 kilometres from the airport. You can park right beside it. It's €180 an hour to park your car, and it's free to go in and walk around, take as many pictures as you like. So I'd say even just, if you don't want to stay in Pisa, leave your luggage in the left luggage area, get a taxi out or get a bus, or you can even get the train.
So you would need to pre-book tickets to walk up to the top of the tower, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would have to pre-book tickets. I mean, if you want to do that, you'd need to do that in advance. In fact, I don't even think you can get in, even if there's availability on the day. I think they have to be pre-booked. But if you want to just... You mean there's 4 different buildings to see there. So if you want to spend the whole day, I'd say, yeah, pre-book the tickets, go in, see everything properly. If you're short on time and you just want to see it, it's really easy to do a kind of, you know, go for a couple of hours and see the Leaning Tower. It's impressive just even to walk around, and it's so accessible, as I said, either on your way when you land, leave your luggage and go see it, or on your way back from the airport, you can park there, you can get a taxi. There's lots of different options. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the places are quite accessible with public transport and trains and all that. But,
okay,
yeah, ideally, have a car.
Thank you. Sarah Slattery from thetravelexpert.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.